morning, CF Paris. We're so glad that you came out on this chilly morning to celebrate our Christmas service. Those of you watching online, we're so glad you're with us too, whenever you watch. We are here to celebrate our King. Amen? If you'll stand to your feet, we're going to celebrate the love, the joy, the peace, the hope that Jesus is and that he brings. Amen? So I want you to sing this with me. Say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. One more time. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen? That's what we're going to sing.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. Sing, the joy, the joy of the Lord is my.
Sing it again.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my. Sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
Sing the joy.
The joy, the joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy, the joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
children we know more. Hope is on the horizon. Weary world we hold your promise desire. Angels let breaks the dawn of salvation. Darkness reigns alone. Oh, Jesus is greater. He is greater. Angels,
here he comes, we receive your King, Jesus. Just take a minute to worship. The greatest gift. Savior of the world. You are our strength, God. Give us joy. Give us joy, Jesus. We come together and worship you, Jesus. This holy moment, Jesus. You're all that matters, Jesus. You are our hope, Jesus. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. sing for you alone.
For you alone are worthy. For you alone are worthy. For you alone are worthy, Christ. The Lord, we give you all.
Come on, church. Let's adore him this morning. Yes, we adore you, Jesus. We adore you, Jesus. We adore you, Jesus. We adore you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We are not a spectator-only church, but we engage with God in worship. We worship him. We fill this room with his praise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very much. Thank you so much, God. We do come and adore you. We fill this room with our praises to you, God. We're so grateful and so thankful. We do come and adore you. We give you all the glory. We make you big in our hearts and in our lives and in our minds, Father. During this season, Lord Jesus, all the things that are going on around us, Father, we want to set those aside in this moment to adore you. You're worthy of it all. Amen. My hand clap of praise this morning. Let's fill the room with joy and gladness. Look around, say hello, give some high fives, fist bumps, handshakes as you take your seat. Merry Christmas. I know it's a few days away still, but It will have happened by the time we get back together, except for our Christmas Eve service. So I guess we get to say it again on Christmas Eve. But I did want to go ahead and say Merry Christmas to everybody here in the building and Merry Christmas to those online. What a wonderful way to celebrate the goodness of God in our lives. He is so, so good. We love him very, very much. We're going to go ahead and prepare as part of worship to receive our tithes and offerings this morning. Ushers are going to go ahead and come forward, and you can start passing those. We've prayed already, so you don't have to wait for that prayer. I do want to welcome, as we're doing that, I want to welcome all of our guests. If you're a guest with us this morning, thank you for being with us. We appreciate you coming and worshiping with us on this morning. And if you're online, we appreciate you joining us there as well. So welcome. We do have an online form. Or a in-person form, a card in your seat back, or online, there's a link. There's a QR code on the card here in front of you as well if you want to fill that out digitally. But we'd love to be able to just send you a note of thanks. We just ask for your address on there. We'd love to send you a note of thanks for coming and for being with us. Also, if you're in person, there is a little gift bag back here on your way out, on your left, on your way out. We'd love to be able to give that to you as our guests this morning. All right, it's a good morning to be here and to be together. There's a few announcements we need to cover, but those will be on the screen before Pastor Corey comes up and gives us a great message.
Good morning, everyone. Pastor G here with this morning's announcements. Just a couple for the week to make you aware of. First of all, a reminder that this Friday night at 5:30 is our candlelight Christmas Eve service for the whole family. We've got a lot of special things planned, and we hope that you and your family will make plans to join us for that service. We also want to let you know that next Sunday on the 26th, we'll be having service at our normal time of 10 a.m. We look forward to spending the holidays with you, and we hope you and your family have a very Merry Christmas. Pastor Corey is up next.
Yes. I mess it up so many times that I've just gotten used to hoping that I get it right. And this time we got it right. We got a new cable for my microphone this week, and we've been testing it out. So hopefully you won't hear a lot of phasing and shifting and a whole lot of weird stuff. But if you do, yeah, there you go. You just will. All right then. Guys, it's very exciting to be back up here. I don't know how many were able to be here last week for Pastor Brandon's message, but let me encourage you. Everybody across this room needs to hear last week's message. It's something that everybody deals with. He dealt with loneliness, and I think a lot of times we just have this mentality, this quick thought of, if I'm lonely, I've got to deal with it on my own, and not realizing there's people across this room, everybody, who's dealing with a form of loneliness, and embracing that loneliness, actually, and coming before Christ with that loneliness. It creates a depth of relationship unlike any other. Today, what I'm doing, I'm starting a new series today that I'm calling The Gift. And I'll be honest, this has been a weird Christmas. I was born and raised in South Texas. I'm used to having 90 degree Christmas. But it's been a long time since I've had to. And since living up here, I've always just assumed Christmas, we're going to have to put on a sweater. And I was thrilled to know this morning that it was cold enough that we could actually wear our jackets and sweaters. It wasn't going to ruin our Christmas pictures. We didn't have to replan Christmas thoughts by wearing sandals and shorts. I've done it. I have done Christmas pictures in sandals and shorts on a beach numerous times. That's how I grew up. But it hasn't felt necessarily like Christmas. I've noticed a lot of things. There's a lot of people today that have turned away from the church more so now than they ever have before. I have friends that I went to Bible college with that are now sharing their deconversion stories. I specifically chose this picture. I reached out to the Broadways. They do our graphics for us, and let's be honest. I was reaching out to Kimmy. Let's be real. It was love you, Broadway. I said I don't want to go with the typical Christmas picture. With a gift, there's a sense of ambiguity, this kind of unknown, this who is it for? The question of what might it be, even the question of would I even want it? There's an allure that a gift brings. Sadly, in society today, I think there's a lot of people that see the picture, the typical manger scene, Jesus in a manger, the beauty of it all, and that's it. They see the beauty. It's cute. But They make immediate assumptions when they see that picture about who it's for, what it is, and whether or not they even want it. When it comes to the presentation of this gift, the greatest gift of all, that's what we say in church. We call this the greatest gift. And yet, when it comes to the presentation of this gift, religion has sadly done more harm than we care to admit. I think every one of us, we hold on to religion out of fear of maybe not being included, while at the same time, we despise religion because of how finicky and how choosy that it is. Again, more people today falling away from the church, from any sort of organized religion, because of just how this gift has been presented. Even those of us that believe in God, we believe in God and we trust Him and wholeheartedly, we know that we know the gift. Even we sometimes look at the gift and wonder, I don't know that I'm worthy of this gift. Today, I want to title today's message, Who's This For? And simply because I think every single one of us end up coming to a place in our lives where we ask ourselves, God, who's this gift really for? Because I definitely know I'm not worthy of it. I'm not, it can't be for me. I laugh because I think about Christmas and the innocence of a young child. And they'll immediately run in. Already last night, Melissa was wrapping a couple gifts and put them up. And Jordan, she's 12 now. She's no longer my little girl. She's growing up. But her first question, who's this one for? Never mind that the name's written on the package. That doesn't matter. Who's this for? There's an allure about the package. And I think what happens with Christmas is, after a while, that allure all of a sudden kind of becomes a reason for disappointment in some of our lives. We find out that the gift wasn't for us, or we find out maybe that the gift that we hoped was something wasn't really what we hoped it would be. And all the while, we can become disenfranchised, jaded even towards the idea of certain gifts. We see a gift, but we don't recognize its value, its worth, because of how things have been presented in the past. I want to read a passage today out of, it's a very popular Christmas text, a portion of Christmas text, and it's out of Luke chapter 2. And I really do believe that this portion could revolutionize, completely game change your life when it comes to answering the question, who's this for? Because we've all heard it, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, that whosoever. So we know it's for everybody, Corey. You don't have to try and go into that. But more so than just for everybody, I want to specifically show you who this gift is for. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, it says this, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" If you'll do this with me real quick, just if everybody across the room, if you'll bow your heads, I just want to pray and give glory to God. Father, I thank you for this season, for this time, for this opportunity, Lord God. I pray that as I present, Lord Jesus, the simplicity of this message, Lord, that you would convey in people's lives a depth to reality, Lord God, that they've never experienced. Jesus, that they would see a relationship with you that is different from anything else they've ever seen before. Lord God, I pray that you would minister to them today. It's in your name I pray. Amen. So to kind of set this up, guys, back in this particular time frame, in this day and age, one of the things that was typical, it was done, is whenever you had a child, you would hire, if you had any financial means at all possible, you would hire a herald to go about the community to tell everybody that a child had been born to you. It was considered a blessing of God. In fact, so much, even more so if it was a firstborn son. There was this mentality, this idea that God has blessed us in such a way that our name is going to continue on for eternity. It was this blessing, and so they would hire a herald, and this herald would run about town and would proclaim the news, ladies and gentlemen, right? I mean, 9 pounds, 4 ounces in the, no. I don't know what the herald would go out and proclaim, but there was this rejoicing behind this idea. But when you hired a herald to proclaim this news, you didn't just send it to anybody. You sent it first to the people that you love, the people that are close to you, the people that mean something to you. But then also, you sent the herald to the people that you want to know, those that might have maybe a little bit more influence. Those that you want to impress. Look, don't look down on this like it's some sort of dodgy, you know, back century theology. Who do you invite to your baby shower? Same thing. Close friends and then the people that can afford the crib you want. That's what this was. This was great news. This was something that, okay, who needs to hear this news? The people that we love and the people that we want to impress. What does God do? He sends the news. He sends an angel to herald or to announce the good news. We've sung this how many times? Hark or look. Hark, the herald angels, the angels who herald, sing. They proclaim, they announce, they let everybody know. Hark, the herald angels sing. God was sending his angel to herald this announcement. Now who God sends the angel to herald to is the interesting part. I mean, this is God's one and only begotten son. This is God's one and only begotten son in human flesh, born on earth. God, who are you going to make this announcement to? I mean, surely kings and queens, right? Surely royalty, or at least it's going to be the people that know the difference between right and wrong. The people that know how to do church right. The people that know how to live correctly and not live incorrectly. I mean, that would be the thought. God sends the angel to herald this announcement to some shepherds. And your immediate thought would possibly be, well, duh, because the manger would look pretty silly without any animals in it, Corey. I mean, like, come on, Corey, there had to be a donkey, there had to be somebody holding a cute little sheep in order to make the manger scene look nice and cute. But what's interesting is shepherds were one of the most disrespected groups of people that existed during that time. The scripture even tells it, it says that they lived in the fields with the sheep. So no showering opportunities, nothing but sheep field stank opportunity. They were filthy, and worst is they were uneducated. There was no means for advancement, because if you're a shepherd, then you're considered even lower than low. Like, you're not even worthy of religion. Religious leaders even taught that shepherds could not be made right with God. And they taught this based solely on you can't live up to our religious rules, our religious regulations, so therefore, God can't love you. Shepherds lived in fear of where they stood with God. Or walked away completely because God was never there for them anyway. And what I want to do today is I want to show you a few things about shepherds that I see. And their thoughts may be on religion and then what that means to us in regards to this gift and who it's for. I think that most of us in here would find ourselves within these three descriptions of a shepherd. Shepherds, especially in this day and age, in this time, they felt distant from God. They felt unworthy. Unworthy of God wanting to love them. Again, their job took them on the road for weeks, maybe even months, living in the fields with sheep. So obviously they stank, no doubt about it. But because they were on the road with the sheep, they could never go to the temple daily. And because they couldn't go to the temple, religion taught that if you didn't make it to the temple, you couldn't be right with God. But their job kept them from being able to. So physically they're dirty. They're filthy. But maybe even more damaging, religious people considered shepherds so spiritually dirty that if you touched a shepherd, you then yourself had to go to the temple and repent for having touched such filth. It was considered filthy to even come in contact with a shepherd. They were taught, you're not good enough for religion. You're not good enough for God. Sadly, the reality is, I think that's the way many of us view ourselves. I think this message is one of those where it's very easy to start looking at how other people could treat. But I seriously, every single one of these, I hope you internally reflect and look at your life. I think each and every one of us, we come into church on a Sunday, especially a Sunday like today where we're Christmas season and everybody walks in with their Christmas best. It's easy to look around the room and think about the things, the good things that I know I should do, and yet the things I don't do. And yet the bad things that I know I don't want to do, those are the things that I end up doing. And we walk in and we put on our face and we put on our smile because we don't want anybody else to see the real hurt. That we feel unworthy. How can God love somebody who's done what I've done? And again, Christmas season, we look around, we look at everybody all Christmassy, holy and righteous, all the while thinking, it's by the grace of God that I didn't kill a child on the way to church today. We look at ourselves and we notice all of these things that seem in our mind to keep us from holiness, from righteousness, from this gift that God would want to give. Another thing about the shepherds is they would have felt very inadequate. I mentioned they were uneducated. If you couldn't hire, if you couldn't afford a shepherd, then a father would put his youngest son as the shepherd, saying, you'll never amount to anything. There's more of a chance for any one of my other children to make it in life. I'm going to invest in them. You go watch the sheep. They never measured up in society. Now, spiritually, one of the biggest rules that they had was that you had to keep the Sabbath. You have to take a day of rest. Weekly, they maintained you keep the Sabbath. You take a day of complete rest. But you can't not watch the sheep for a day. I mean, you can't not. I mean, they have to still be watched. And so because the shepherds couldn't do that, because the sheep need protection, because they needed care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, physically, they couldn't do what religion said that they had to do, what they were supposed to do. So immediately, They felt inadequate, unworthy. You think about even the rabbis, maybe the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day who had their own farms, had their own shepherds, and yet were teaching. Yeah, my sheep, they're more important than you are. I say that your soul is damned if you can't make it in on a Sabbath, but or if you don't stop and rest, but what I'm really saying is my sheep are more important than this message that I'm giving for you. You aren't worth it. So they felt like constant spiritual failures. I think a lot of times what we end up doing is we compare ourselves to others, how inadequate we feel. We look around at others like, well, they've obviously got it all together. And we feel unworthy. We feel inadequate quite often. Another thing that the shepherds would have felt would have been unloved. Like I mentioned, if you were the youngest son, the job's relegated to you. If we can't afford a shepherd, you're the one that's stuck. And in reality, shepherds, predominantly, most of them were thieves. But even if they weren't a thief, they were still considered a thief because of who they hung out with. It said that shepherds were so distrusted that a shepherd wasn't allowed to give a testimony in a court case. So you're walking along, somebody murders somebody right beside you, and there's a shepherd that watches it, sees it happen. He could defend you. They won't allow him in court to testify because they know he's lying. He's a shepherd. As untrustworthy as they are, can you imagine like a father ever wanting his daughter to marry a shepherd? It was despised. It was looked down upon. It was hated. Tragically, the reality is many people feel unloved today. There's stories across this room, stories that I can't even begin to imagine the pain. There's people who've had a parent that just disappeared, walked out on them. And to this day, they wonder, they ponder this question. Why me? Am I not loved? Am I not worthy? Am I not adequate enough? There's stories here today of people who are going to be celebrating Christmas for the first time without a spouse who promised to be there forever and yet now is saying, I don't love you anymore. There's people across this room that are single, watching their friends get married left and right, and all the while they're wondering, like, I'm a Christian, I do things right, why not me? Am I not loved? Others of you, you look in the mirror and can't stand the person looking back. We don't even love ourselves sometimes, and then we expect that there's a God that could love us. And the wild thing is perception versus reality, especially on a day like today. On a day like today, everybody looks like they have it all together. The kids know better than to act up. You already warned them before you came in. I will beat you silly if you make a scene in here. You'd climb the Christmas tree, so help me God. And then we put on our face, we put on our mask, and we walk in. Everything looks perfect. But across this room, I would dare say even just a shoulder-width distance from you, is a single mom who's ready to cash it in. Feels inadequate thinking that I can't do this anymore. Or there's the guy who's struggling financially and he knows that Christmas break is going to be over and his kids are going to have to go to school and they're going to be forced with the thought of, do I lie about what I got because he couldn't afford it this year? There's people that are hurting left and right of us. All around us that look incredibly successful, but inside are carrying burdens and pain and don't feel like they have anyone that they can open up to. Again, I encourage you, go back and listen to Pastor Brandon's message last week. But unworthy, inadequate, or unloved. The bottom line is religion didn't work for the shepherds. Flat out, religion did not work for the shepherds. Worse than that, it made them feel even more distant from God. Religion didn't work for the shepherds, and it doesn't work for us. God didn't send Jesus to bring religion to the world, but rather in part to set us free from religion, to give us something better. Hear me, please. Look, the problem with religion is it reduces Christianity down to rules. Do's and don'ts. If I do the right thing or if I don't do the wrong thing, then I feel better about myself. And then if I feel better about myself, that must mean that I'm holier than you because you do the things that I don't do or don't do the things that I do do. Religion never worked for the shepherds, and it doesn't work for us because Christianity wasn't meant to be a religion. It was meant to be a relationship with God. It was meant to be a relationship, a one-on-one, personal, communicative relationship with God. That's why he sent his son, his one and only son. That is the good news. I mean, that's the good news. That's what we know, right? But that doesn't answer, who's this for? I want to show you a different passage. It's probably the most succinct version of the good news that you could ever find. Three verses in Romans. This is from the Apostle Paul, who, mind you, hated Christians. So much so that his job was to go around and crucify, kill, annihilate anybody who said, I believe in Jesus Christ. He has this massive conversion. He realizes this personal relationship, has this personal relationship now with Jesus, and he says this. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. But what has God done? Now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. We are made right with God not by observing the law. Look, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Now, I can't rightfully tell you who the gift is for without at least starting a little bit of what the gift is. We all know, oh, it's the greatest gift. And next week, I'm going to dive more into what is this gift, because it's a gift unlike any other. Unlike any other. But we still need to know a little bit. So the good news is, If we look at this verse and we recognize what it is that Jesus did, the good news obviously is you cannot earn God's acceptance by observing the law. You cannot earn God's acceptance by observing the law. You're never going to be good enough for God by trying to obey the law, the rules. For the shepherds, and this was great news. They lived in a society. Pharisees, the religious rulers of the day, had 613 laws that if you didn't live by 613 laws, then you couldn't be made right with God. 613. Look, As Christians, we've got the Ten Commandments, right? Like, God really narrowed it down. And then Jesus came along and said, my God, you can't even get the ten right. Let's narrow it down to two. Love God and love people. Come, just do that. Just get that. Love God and love people. But that's just it. We can't keep the law. No one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. Their occupation prohibited them from being able to obey the law. But now the good news is you can't even do it. Even if you try, you can't. So then why have the law? Why even have the law? What's it even there for? It shows us our need for a Savior. Again, that same verse, it goes on, it says, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. I think this is the big crux. A lot of reason why people have their deconversion stories, their reasons for walking away. You can look at this in two ways. The law reveals how sinful you are, and you can stop there, or the law reveals how grateful I am for a Savior that carried the burden of the law for me. One of the fundamental flaws in people today is our thought that we're good. If I ask people to raise their hand across the room, not now that I've obviously mentioned it, but if I asked you to raise your hand, say, who here thinks that they're a good person? Most of us would probably put our hand up. Yeah, I'm good. I mean, compared to that one, yeah, I can put my hand up. But therein lies the issue. We compare ourselves to those around us, to somebody else. We don't compare ourselves to the law. Because if we did, we'd immediately know, no, we ain't. You can't be good. You're going to fail. You're going to miss the Ten Commandments. You're going to fail. You're going to miss even those. The two, love God, love people. You're going to fail. You're going to miss even at those. So we're talking about not comparing ourselves to a standard that's beside us of somebody else that we think is worse, but rather comparing ourselves to God's standard. And until you see yourself, until you recognize yourself as a sinner, one who can't compete, who can't maintain the basic level of the law, you'll never see your need for a Savior. But guys, when you recognize that, man, no matter how good I am compared to whoever it is I think I'm being gooder than, I'll never be good enough. Compared to God, compared to that standard, compared to his righteousness, I'm never going to maintain. I'm never going to reach it. But when you realize that you need a Savior, man, then you're going to recognize that religion can't save you. When you recognize you need a Savior, you recognize there's no amount of rules or laws that you're going to be able to maintain or keep. Christianity wasn't meant to be a religion, rather a relationship with a God who loves you so much so that he sent his son solely to reveal how good he is. So the good news, the good gift, it's you can't be good enough for God by observing the law, and the purpose of the law shows us our need for a Savior. But then Corey, how can we ever be made right with God? Well, the good news teaches that righteousness with God comes solely by faith in Christ alone. It's not Christ plus religion. It's not Christ plus the good work that I'm doing. It's not Christ plus I'm giving money towards this or that. It's not Christ plus church membership. And look, I say that hesitantly because, man, I want everybody back. I want this place filled up. I want to be running multiple services. I want to see people. And I know there's still reason why people can't make it or are uncomfortable making it, but a lot of times what ends up happening is in these moments, we fall back, we slip back into feeling inadequate, unworthy, and unloved. Where Scripture tells us, we're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. It's putting your faith in Christ alone, and this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. So, as I close, as the band comes up and plays, who is this gift for? That was answered when the angel appeared to the shepherds. Again, this was the people that religion rejected. When God chose to herald this announcement to the very people that religion itself rejected, he was making a statement. God the Father was making a statement. Fear not. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. A Savior has been born to you. Guys, each and every one of us across this room, tuning in online, we're made right with God solely by faith in Christ alone. Are you good enough for God on your own? No, not a chance. But because of what the Son of God did for you on the cross, because he chose to become sin for you, because he chose to die in your place, because he was raised to new life, conquering death, hell, and the grave. Because of that, man, when you place your faith in him, God no longer sees the sin that you see. But rather, he sees the righteousness of his Son in you. That's what salvation is. It's the recognition of what Jesus did for each and every one of us. The gift that was given, but more so recognizing who the gift is for. You see, religion is all about us, our efforts to please God. Relationship, though, it's about God's perfect work. God's perfect work that satisfied the debt of sin through the cost of Calvary, through what Jesus did. Religion is about what we do or what we don't do. But relationship is about what God has already done, finished. Religion says, I have to work hard. And if I work hard enough, I might please God. But relationship says, because I'm accepted. Because I'm accepted by God, his righteousness through Christ in me, I get to work hard. I get to put forth an effort for him. It's a game changer when you realize shepherds felt just like you and I feel today. Inadequate, unworthy, unloved. But fear not. I think a lot of times, even that little moment when an angel stood before the shepherds and said, fear not, we kind of just imagine this beautiful, rejoicing moment. You know, ooh, it's an angel of God. But remember, shepherds constantly lived in fear of where they stood with God. They were taught that religion wasn't good enough for them, that God could never love them. So when the angel appeared, they had every right to be fearful. But God's word, that day as well as this, is fear not. Don't be afraid. I know the struggles you're dealing with. I know the hurt that you're dealing with. I know how you feel inadequate. I know how you feel unworthy. And I know sometimes you feel unloved. But fear not. For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. For you. This gift is for you. It doesn't matter how wrong you've been or how bad you've messed up or how far it is that you think you are from God. You were made right with God. Not by good works, not by religion, but by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. And that gift, guys, that gift, that is the good news that no matter who you are, a Savior has been born to you. His name is Jesus, and He is Christ the Lord. If you'll bow your heads with me as I close, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Father. I thank you for your word, for your truth, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord God. I thank you for all that you're doing in and through each and every life in this room. And I thank you so much for the power of the gospel, the good news, for the gift, Lord God, the greatest gift, the gift of your presence today. And I ask, Father, that you would minister to people in a way that would be life-giving, life-transforming today. Again, with every head bowed, every eye closed across the room, there's people here today that are carrying heavy burdens, weights, the fear of where you stand with God. Some of you today have financial fears. Others have relational fears. There's tension in a marriage or with your kids. For some, even just the thought of going to visit family over the holidays, it's frightening. But today, what I want to do is I want to give you the opportunity to cast your cares upon Him. Scripture says, cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Every time an angel appeared, the angel would say, fear not. Because the angel represents the goodness of our God. Because God is here, we have nothing to fear. So across this room, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here and you're just experiencing a heaviness, whatever category, whatever it is, if you just real quickly raise your hand, I want to pray for you. Awesome. Wow, across the room, online, if you'll just type in, that's me, across the room. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I come before you and I thank you, Lord, for those who, Lord, in a moment of honesty, are seeking you. Lord, I don't pretend to know the details of any of the situations, Lord, but I know that you're a good God. And so, Lord God, this morning, as we cast our cares upon you, as we take these burdens, these issues, these things, Lord God, that we're worried about, that we concerned about, Lord Jesus, that weigh us down, Lord God, we thank you that you can give us a supernatural peace that goes beyond even our human ability to understand. And so right now, Lord God, that peace, I pray upon every hand lifted, Lord Jesus, upon every person that's right now asking for prayer. I thank you in advance, Lord Jesus, that you're going to bring glory to your name, Lord God, through these situations, through these issues. So God, by faith, we trust you today. We trust you today, Lord God, with our burdens, with our cares, with our everything. We give it to you, Lord Jesus, and we believe you'll always be faithful. So we trust in you. As I continue to pray, I want to do one more thing. There's probably many here today that from a spiritual perspective, you feel unworthy, inadequate, maybe even unloved. God loved you so much that the purpose of His law was to show you that you can't do it on your own. You need somebody else. And then He loved you so much that He sent that someone else, His Son Jesus. Scripture says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Completely changed, forgiven, made new. I truly believe that there's people here today, and we lovingly sometimes refer to CEO Christians, Christmas and Easter only. Look, don't get put off by that. I've joked with people just this week about being able to get back in church. A lot of people are going through struggles and hurts, but if you're here this morning and you're sitting there going, look, I don't normally come to church, I don't normally do that, but it's based on what religion has done to you, I want to apologize. I want to say I'm sorry. I don't know who it was that did whatever it was that was done, but guys, look, that's not God. And I'm here to tell you, your deconversion, your walk away, whatever you want to call it, I get it. I do. I hear people walking away from that, from what was, but you can't walk away from this. Because this wasn't that that treated you wrong. This is a love like no other. This is a gift like no other, a gift that says, I want you and I want to be in relationship with you. I want that none should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. If you're here today and you've never had that relationship, the personal one-on-one of a God who cares and wants to see the best in you, wants to give you a future and a hope because he has a plan and a purpose for you. If you don't know that, man, I want to give you the opportunity. It really is just as simple as believing in his son. Believing in the name above all names, the name at which eventually, guys, every single one of us are going to kneel. If you don't know that name, if you don't have that relationship, I'd love to introduce you to him. He's a gift unlike any other. Across the room, if you'd like prayer because you feel unworthy, inadequate, or unloved, if you'd just raise your hand, I want to pray for you. Same thing online. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I thank you. Lord God, across this room with those that raise their hands, I ask you, Father, to forgive us. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, of the inadequacies, the things, Lord Jesus, that we see daily, that we know don't measure up, don't add up to what the world says we need to be or have to be. But Lord God, we thank you that you said all we need to do is call upon your name. Church, if you'll join with me right now, across this room, let's every voice, let's say this with me together. Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. Jesus, forgive me. Change me, make me new. I believe you died for me and that you rose again so that I could live for you. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, Lord Jesus, that you would fill, that your spirit would fill up people's lives today, Lord God, that they would recognize the renewing, the rejoicing, Lord God, the change inside, Lord Jesus, that they wouldn't sit there and try and have to measure up to be good enough for God, but rather, Lord Jesus, in realizing that they are good enough for you, Lord Jesus, they would say, Lord, change me. Whatever's inside of me that would keep me from being what you already see, help me to be that. Lord God, I pray for people across this room that as they experience, Lord God, your presence, that they would maybe even for the first time experience a relationship, not a religion, Lord God, but a relationship, a personal desire to be in communication with someone else. Lord God, we thank you for your work, your word, your purpose right here in people's lives. I thank you for this season, for this time. Lord God, the opportunity to rejoice that a gift has been given, a gift unlike any other, Lord God, and that gift was given for each and every one of us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that even when we feel inadequate, unloved, unworthy, Lord, that you look down and see your righteousness based solely on us saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. Lord God, thank you for your grace, for your mercy. It's in the name of your son, I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Guys, y'all give a big hand clap to those that are joining the family of God today. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. Do not forget our Christmas Eve service We look forward to seeing you all. God bless you. Y'all have a wonderful week.